And we're in Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3. For this reason, Paul says, the reason being that as he has revealed a mystery, and he's going to talk to us about that, and he reveals that in chapter 2, which was basically his plan of salvation was to gather into one body, the body of Christ, his church, all people, Jews and Gentiles, from every nation under the world. God's plan was he was going to have a church, and that would be his body, and that everyone that was to be saved and would be saved, and whoever would call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ would be saved, because there's no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved, the Bible says. And so if we confess Jesus Christ as our Lord and believe it in our heart that God has raised him from the dead, we're saved. That's what the Bible says. Amen? It's not religion. It's not a denominational. As you've heard me say over and over again, it's not theology. It's not doing a bunch of good works. It's by the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ and his precious blood that we're saved. Amen. And because we have that salvation, then we have, as Paul is telling us, we have become members of the church. That's not this church or any other church necessarily on this earth. It's the body of Christ. Wherever we are, if we've been born again by the Spirit of God, we are the body of Christ. That means, we need to understand this, as I've said before, that means that your body, if you're a Christian, you can say my body, I is the habitation of God. Amen? That means we are the church. Christ, as the Bible says, therefore if any man be in Christ, they're a new creation. Amen? So we're not talking about the old self here. We're talking about the new creation that we become when we're born again by the Spirit of God and placed into the body of Christ. And our body becomes a habitation of God. And that's what Paul is talking about here. And that's what he wants us to all understand. If you've heard me say before, it's good to come to church and it's good to gather together. Amen? It's good to have special prayers and prayer meetings. It's good to get together with one another and pray. But the Bible wants you to know this, that wherever you are, whether you're driving down the highway or whether you're on the job or whether you're at home washing dishes or washing clothes or wherever you are, your body is a habitation of God and you can talk to him anytime you want to. In fact, he wants you to. He wants us. He wants us to talk to him. He wants us to talk to him not in a formal way, but an informal way, recognizing that God is our Heavenly Father and that we can talk to him. He already knows the thoughts and intents of our hearts. He already knows what we've done. So we don't, somehow in religion, people have gotten caught up with the idea that I've got to be good and I've got to do something for God to be with me. Well, if you're born again, you're one of God's children, he's with you. Now, that doesn't mean you in the flesh that we're perfect. In Christ we are. Why? Because of God in Christ Jesus, he's made into us wisdom, righteousness, thanks, sanctification. Amen? We're all of these things in Christ. So we can all come and be in God's presence. And I like to talk to him, as the old song said, and as part of what we sung this morning, what a friend we have in Jesus. He's the best friend you have, and he's the best friend you will ever have. The Bible says that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. The Bible says that we are born again by the Spirit of God and that we are children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. and that we have a standing with Him, and that we can talk to Him anytime. I like to, and now that doesn't mean to be irreverent. That just means we respect Him. It's an awesome thing to be able to talk to God. Let me tell you something else. It's even a more awesome thing for God to talk to you. Amen. And He says that we can hear His voice. Amen. Now, some people say they've heard that voice audibly. Well, that's possible. But that's not the normal way He speaks to us. He speaks to us because our spirit has been made alive. And by the way, if you don't understand that, the Bible says, the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray God your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless until the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. So we are a spirit. We live in a body so people can see us and know who we are, whether we like it or not. Amen? We are a spirit being. And I've preached over my 60 years or some odd in the ministry. I've preached to many a sermon, funerals, and I like to tell them the body we see there lying in the coffin is not that person. That's just where they used to live. This was their earth suit. And as the Bible says, as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. So to remember, if you have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, make sure that faith is operating in you. And you can walk by faith and not by sight, and you can depend on God because that's by faith. Everything that we have, the Bible says, is by faith. Amen? And that means that doesn't just mean a word of faith. I have faith, but it means that I have put my trust. I'm relying on. I am depending on the Lord Jesus Christ for everything, everything that I have, everything, I'm depending on Him. That's what trust means. It means, as I sat down one time and put my weight on this, I put my entire weight on this. I trust this to hold me up. I hope I never do that and sit down in a chair and it falls over with me. But I don't think I would sit down in a chair that would fall over with me. Nor would I put my trust in a God who couldn't hold me up and make me stand. And I can tell you, I'm 85 years old, and I can tell you that all through the years that I've walked with my Lord, He's been good to me, and He's taken good care of me, and He's helped me up. And I've survived only because of Him, and I will tell you that. Have I been perfect? Heavens no. If my wife was still here and you were to ask her, I hope she's gone on to be with the Lord. But boy, my children can tell you a whole lot of things about me that wouldn't be good. Amen. Our goodness is of God. And so Paul says, for this reason, because we are the body of Christ, and because we have this hope, he said, I preach, and I'm reading from the Amplified Bible, Ephesians chapter 3, verse 1. I preach that you and believing Jews are joint heirs, or we're Jews and Gentiles together. I, Paul, am a prisoner of Jesus Christ on behalf of you Gentiles. Assuming that you have heard, how many of you have heard that of the stewardship of God's grace? It's by grace we're saved, not through faith. And that's not of ourselves. It is a gift. What is a gift? You don't work for it. You don't discern it, deserve it. You don't earn it. It's a gift. Amen? And since God sent His Son and died for us while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us, the Bible says. Amen? So He gives us all things through Christ because Christ died for us, and because we've received Him, we've put our trust and fully upon Him, and He takes care of us. Amen? So if we've heard about this grace that God has entrusted, Paul says, to him, God put him and trusted him to be able to share with you, with us, and he's writing this to the Ephesians church, but the church at Ephesus, but because it is a written word and is a part of the written word, the Bible says it's also His word to us. Amen. And so that's why he concludes verse 2, I think it is. He says, that's why I'm sharing it with you. And the reason he's sharing it with you is the same reason I'm sharing with you this morning. I want you to get this. It's for your benefit. It's for your benefit. Amen? It's for those of us who believe. That's why we have become recipients of the gospel, and that's the reason why people are sharing that with us, so we can have some benefits from it. And the benefits are, as he explains, but further on, and as we get into this, the benefit is that our body is a habitation of God through the Spirit, and that God is our Heavenly Father, and our Heavenly Father will supply all of our needs according to His riches and glory through Christ Jesus. Not through the law, through church membership, through tradition, through theology, or any of that stuff. It's through Christ. Amen? And I'll say that whether you like it or not. It's for our benefit. Verse 3. That by divine revelation, the mystery was made known to me. There's a lot of mysteries in the Bible. That does not mean we can't understand them. It just simply means that we have to have divine revelation to understand them. And I think I shared with you a number of times. I was trying to understand something one morning, got up, was on my computer about 5 or 6 o'clock in the morning, had been studying for 2 or 3 hours, trying to understand something, and I just got up and I said, Lord, I can't understand this. And as I was walking from my computer into my dining room area, going to the kitchen to get me a cup of coffee, he said, Lewis, I'll stop. It was in my spirit, but I had been so drawn so close to him, I heard it like it was an audible voice. And I stopped dead still. And he said, you're trying to understand things that are too wonderful for you. And I said, wow, Lord, thank you. That's scriptural. And he said, yeah, it is. Go read Job chapter 43. I think that was the verse. That's been a long time ago. So God wants to talk to us about anything and everything. He can tell you about your job. He can tell you about your husband. He can tell you about your wife. He can tell you about your children. Not bad things, but things that will help you and help us. He can tell us about our finances. He can talk to us about anything under the sun. God is alive and well. He doesn't just talk to us about religious things. He talks to us about everything. And He really loves it when we praise Him and thank Him and express our gratitude and our appreciation to Him for all of the things that He does. So the things that we need to understand come to us. Don't worry about you don't understand everything that's written in the Bible. I've been studying it and preaching it for 60 some odd years, and I still don't understand everything there. And I never will. I understand a whole lot more things than I did when I first started. Like when I heard one preacher say he didn't know James from Job. when he first started. So a lot of things that we need to understand, not just with regards to the Word, but things that are going on in our lives, we need to have some divine revelation so God can show us what's going on and He can help us. By referring to this, verse 4, when you read it, you can understand my insight into the mystery of Christ. So he says right here, the idea that Christ dwells in us and that we are in Christ is one of the divine mysteries that back in the Old Testament had not ever been really revealed. It had only been revealed to the prophets here in this in the New Testament. Amen? And now everybody can know it, this mystery. In fact, he says in verse 5, which in other generations, the previous generations in past, was not disclosed to mankind, as it has now been revealed to his holy apostles and prophets by the Holy Spirit. So it's the Holy Spirit that speaks to us and reveals things to us that God needs for us to know. That's why the Bible says, be not drunk with wine, whereas in excess, but be being filled with the Spirit. Continue to be being filled with the Spirit. Talk to him about anything. And the Holy Spirit will help you to understand what it is. And generally, it'll come to you with a thought. Now, over the years, I've always worked and pastored. Worked for Govan and Associates and InTech Engineering and ran jobs and worked in refineries all over the place. Made good money, saved some money because I thought God told me to. There's nothing wrong with putting away something for the future in case you might need it, right? And I give a lot, mostly to the church. I give to missions. Our church does. We put that in practice here in our church too. In fact, we give over 20% of everything that comes into this church. We give to missions. People that are over there in Africa and different places that need our help. And I told someone a few days ago, I went and got 10 $100 bills. That's $1,000. The reason I went and got it is because God told me, and this was just out of the clear blue. He said, I want you to give this man $1,000. And you think the first thing I said, well, is there anybody else up there? But I learned a long time ago, I know when it's him. And you will too. So I went and got 10 $100 bills. You should have seen the expression on that man's face when I handed it to him. And I said, and he started saying thank you. I said, don't thank me. I would never have done this if it wasn't for God. This was God told me to do this. I said, you must be somebody special. Amen. So he went away praising God, not me. Amen. Because I was honest. I wouldn't give it to him. I wouldn't give him a dime if God didn't tell me to. Amen. I might buy him a cup of coffee or a hamburger or something, but to give somebody $1,000, you got to be some kind of crazy unless God tells you to. Amen. So, the Holy Spirit reveals things to us. He would like to talk to us. He would like to, listen, let me tell you something. And I'm just sharing here with you this morning. How many of you, Christian, would like to be blessed? Wow. That's not too many. Oh, I want to ask the Lord what He would have you to do, but be sure before you ask Him. I was driving down the highway one time, and I'm going to explain this like this. Driving down the highway, I was coming back, I think, from Dallas, Texas, and I'd been talking to the Lord. And I was between, I'd just come out of Sinton, coming into Ingleside. And I had drawn close to Him, so I think I was hearing Him pretty good, because I heard Him say this, Lewis, I want you to say this. I said, yeah, Lord, I'll go where You want me to go, I'll do what You want me to do, and I'll speak what You want me to speak. And I said, boy, I'm happy. I'm close to the Lord. I'll go where You want me to go, and I'll do what You want me to do, and I'll speak what You want me to speak. He said, say it again. So I said, I'll go where You want me to go, and I'll do what You want me to do, and I'll speak what You want me to speak. See, He has me focusing on what I'm saying now. He said, say it again. And now, what He's wanting me to focus on is I'm saying, wherever it may be, I'll go where You want me to go. Boy, that made a whole lot of difference when I understood what He... And then He's saying to me, wherever I send you, you'll do what I ask you to do. And then He said, you'll speak what I ask you to speak. Well, I hate to tell you this. I said that. But I didn't live up to it. I broke it at least one time, I know for sure. That's the only time I know for sure that I did. And the reason I know for sure that I did is because He let me know and it broke my heart. You want me to share that with you just briefly? Over the years, I'd come to know a lot of different pastor friends. Baptist, Methodist, Pentecostal, Assembly of God, Church of God, Catholics. I had come, and some of them were my real good friends. And so I'll not mention this pastor's name. I will mention the church I was in, because I had a good pastor that I got to know real well, and we shared things, and he was having a revival. So I went to Assembly of God Church where he was having a revival. Now here I am, an interdenominational pastor, really brought up in a Baptist. I was ordained, licensed a Baptist pastor, and then I went I just went non-denominational because I didn't want to be labeled by anything other than what God wanted me to be labeled with. And so I'm in this Assembly of God Church, and it was packed. And I went there with my sister, because my sister and her husband went to, that's who they belonged to, that church. And I knew that pastor. But there was a lot of Assembly of God pastors. You know, most churches in an area, they have Baptist, Assembly of God, whatever, they have a revival. A lot of the pastors come and help support that church and that pastor. Are you with me? So there was probably at least five or six other pastors there. And I'm sitting about in the middle pew, about halfway back by my sister. And there was a little boy sitting over here in a pew on this side. He was all by himself. He was probably about 7 or 8 years old. And the invitation had been given. Music was playing. There was two or three people that had come to the altar. There was a young man that had come to the altar on this side. The pastor and two other men were kneeling around him and praying with him. And I want you to get the picture. And the invitation they were singing, whoever was singing, playing music. And the Lord spoke to me and he said, "Lewis," I knew it was him. He said, "I want you to do two things. Get up out of your pew. Go down there and set that little boy down and tell him to sit down and be still. He's disrupting my spirit in this church." Then he said, "That young man that's praying over here at the altar, he's praying that he will be filled with the Holy Spirit. When you set that little boy down, you go over there, lay your hands on him, and I will fill him with the Holy Spirit." And wow, this is not my church. I don't know hardly any of these pastors. I know the pastor. And I'm sitting there, and I have my Bible in my seat, and I'm thumbing the pages because I'm very nervous. Can you appreciate where I am and what's going on? And I'm saying, basically, what about all these other preachers over here? And he's saying to me, "Are you going to do what I'm saying?" And I said, "Well, Lord, if I'm sure it's you, I'll do it." Liar. He said, "Open your Bible." And I was just thumbing my Bible. And I didn't even look at it. I just was thumbing it with my fingers, and then, because I was nervous, and I just flipped it open. And then I picked it up. And I couldn't see anything. It was open, and there was two pages I could see, but I couldn't read anything other than the scripture that he told me to read to that kid down there. That's all I could see. The very scripture that he told me to read. You know what this great giant spiritual preacher did? I got him walk out. And by the time I got to my car door, the Spirit of God was grieved in me. And I was grieved. And by the time I opened my car door and sat down, I was crying so hard I couldn't see. Why? Because I had deliberately disobeyed God. Now, if I'd have been God at that time, I say, if I had been God, I would have probably killed me. That was deliberate disobedience. But he didn't. By the time I got home, he had forgiven me and filled me back with his Spirit and his love. And I knew he had forgiven me, but I knew also I'd done a very bad thing. And I talked to my daughter my sister later on, because she was and her husband were there at that church, and I asked her, I said, "Donice, did that young man ever get his prayers answered at that altar?" And she said, "No, Lewis, he didn't." And that brought it all back to me. He didn't, because I didn't. And I want to tell you something. It is for God's, your benefit that God loves you. It's for our benefit that He saved us. It's for our benefit that He's our Heavenly Father. It's for our, He wants to bless us. And there's no question about that. Let me tell you something. One of the greatest blessings you will ever receive is hearing God ask you to do something and then going and doing it. Amen. And you say, well, as far as I know, He had never asked me to do anything. Well, just tell Him, Lord, you're my Lord. Jesus said this, and I'm not trying to pick on anybody. I'm not trying to hurt anybody. I'm just going to mud. The Bible says, be diligent to make your calling and election sure. Amen. We have to do that. And we may have to do that more than once, because one of the things that the enemy tries to do, the first thing he did with me when I was 19 years old and surrendered to God's ministry and said, here, I'll do, was Satan tried to get me to doubt my salvation. You're not saved. God can't save somebody like you. You ever have, you know, the enemy can put doubts in your mind. Are you with me? Huh? That's where you fight the battle. The weapons, 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3, 4, and 5 says, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, they're not fleshly, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, bringing every thought into captivity to His obedience. Amen? That's what we're supposed to do. That's an aspect of our salvation. And I'll repeat. You tell Him, Lord, I want to be, I love You. You're my Lord. And what I was about to say earlier, the scripture, the Holy Spirit just brought it back to my mind again. Jesus said to a lot of those people that were following Him, why do you call Me Lord, Lord, and don't do the things which I say unto you? Are you with me? So, I want you. Well, let me put it another way. God wants you to be one of the most blessed children He's ever had. Amen? And when you tell Him, Lord, I'm not just calling You Lord. You are my Lord. You're my Savior. Amen? You're my Lord and You're my Savior. And I won't not just call You Lord. I want You to be my Lord. I need You to be my Lord. Amen? My Lord over everything, not just my religion and my belief, but my whole life, my finances, my relationship with my children and my wife and my husband and my aunts and uncles and nephews. Boy, be careful what you say. Are you with me? And again, I'm just saying, God wants to be, Jesus to be our Lord. And He wants to be able to speak to us so we can hear His voice in our spirit. And it's all right if you don't, you think, well, I'm kind of confused, I'm not sure. He doesn't mind you saying, Lord, I need to make sure that You. Amen. Because you're asking me to do something that I probably wouldn't normally ever do. Like give somebody $1,000. Amen. You talk about happy. Boy, that guy was happy. You talk about happy. I was happy. Because I knew I had done what God told me to do. Amen. And that's how, listen, that's how God is our friend. That's how we we walk with Him and talk with Him. And He talks to us. And that's why we understand that we can talk to Him about anything. And that's how we can understand He knows all about us and loves us anyway, even after we're Christians. I know, like Paul said, that in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. The only good thing that dwells in this fleshly body, you ready? Is the new creation that I am in Christ Jesus. Amen. I'm going to share one more story, then I'm going to shut up. You can't walk with the Lord for 60, 70 years and not learn some things. Amen? He wants us to learn a lot of things. Amen. Now I forgot what it was I was going to tell you. Maybe I'm not supposed to say that. I'm just saying, don't be afraid to do whatever it is. You just make sure it's the Lord that's telling you, and then you can do it. Amen? And I'm glad you're here this morning. And I pray God's richest blessings upon every one of you. And when He wants me to tell this story and I remember it, I'll tell it. I don't remember what it was, but I have a lot of good stories that the Lord has showed me over the years that I've learned. So let's everybody stand. We're going to be dismissed. And if you're here this morning and you need to come to this altar for any reason, as we give this invitation, maybe you need to come to dedicate your life, or maybe just say, Lord, I surrender all, or maybe you need to come and be saved. I don't know, whatever. Before we have this dismissal prayer, if anybody wants to come to the altar, you come at this time. If you need someone to pray with you, well, we have people here to pray with you. I'll pray with you, whatever we need to do. Anybody, anywhere. Brother Scott, would you dismiss us, please, sir?